The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Should Christians practice patient endurance for eternal salvation, or is it for eternal reward? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. I got the opportunity recently to sit down with Dr. Bob Wilkin and answer some questions from listeners just like you. By the way, if you have questions that you'd like Dr. Bob to tackle, you can reach us at radio@faithalone.org. Feel free to send us that email. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, today's questions are a couple of head scratchers. So let's see what Bob has to say about them. This is Grace in Focus. Bob, what do we have today?
Yes, there's a question from Barry, and I really like this question. He says that this morning in Sunday school, we will be focusing on Hebrews 10, 19 through 29, which is one of the warning passages in the book of Hebrews. And he says that the person who prepared this lesson is focused on patient endurance, and he's got this in bold, for eternal salvation and not patient endurance for eternal reward. And he says, can you comment on how the free grace perspective is a better choice? And he's specifically thinking in particular about Hebrews 10, 26 to 31, then followed by 32 to 39, which picks up the theme of reward. Can you comment on how the free grace perspective is a better choice? As well, can you comment on if someone is motivated wrongly to persevere in Christian witness for their salvation, as opposed to for eternal rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, does it make any difference for them in the long run?
Wow, there's a lot in there.
There is a lot in there. So let's begin with that last part first. If a person thinks they are persevering in order to gain what they would call final salvation, does that make a difference in the long run? Yeah, it makes a difference in the big long run.
Yeah.
Because whether they end up in the lake of fire or where they end up in Jesus' kingdom depends on whether their name's in the book of life, Revelation 20:15. And you can't get in the book of life by working in.
Yeah, so how do you get in the book of life then?
Yeah, only way is John 3:16, believing in him. If we believe in him, we get in the book of life. Ephesians 2:8-9 says the same thing. There's over 100 faith alone verses in the Bible, and those verses make it very clear it's by faith apart from works. So the Sunday school teacher, I'm sure, meant well, right? It's a good thing for believers to live godly lives. In fact, that's what the warning passages are calling us to do. But as Barry points out, they're doing it so that we might have eternal rewards. And I think Barry hasn't stressed enough, we're also doing it to gain rewards in this life.
Oh, that's good.
And to avoid chastisement.
Yeah.
In fact, let's read Hebrews 10, 26 to 31. Do you have it there?
Yes, I do. 10, 26 through 31. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Ooh, that gives me chills, Bob.
Yeah, right.
I hope you can unfearify that for us.
I've never heard of unfearify. Okay. Well, first of all, the no sacrifice for sins in verse 26 is looking back to verse 18, which basically points out that Jesus died once and for all, and he doesn't keep dying over and over again.
Ah, that's good.
And so the Old Testament sacrificial system had the Yom Kippur, a Day of Atonement, every year after year, showing that there was no permanent covering of sins, no permanent dealing with the sin problem.
Yeah.
But Jesus died once for all. Now, the readers were believers from a Jewish background who were being tempted to go back to offering animal sacrifices for their eternal salvation.
Okay.
And so as a result, what the author is saying is if you do that, you are insulting the blood of Christ. You are insulting his grace because you've been saved by grace through faith. Now, some people point out that they're called adversaries in verse 27, but they neglect the fact that they're called his people in verse 30. Lord will judge his people. Now, of course, you can go to the Old Testament and say, well, his people was Israel, and he judged believing and unbelieving Israel. That's true. But in the context of this book and the way the author of Hebrews is using it, his people is believers in the church age. Those who are the people he will judge. Barry was focusing on the Bema, which does come out in verses 32 to 39, but here in 26 to 31, the emphasis on here and now. And by the way, many people point out that the judgment is going to be worse than death. Notice verse 28. He who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy at the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's what people today would call mortal sins. It was a sin that resulted in your death, like murder, and you experienced the death penalty. Or adultery. And then in verse 29, it says, of how much worse punishment do you expect this person to get? And a lot of people say, well, the only possible worse punishment than immediate death is hell. Well, no, that's not right. There's lots of worse punishments than immediate death. How about lingering pain and suffering that goes on for years?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if you're a believer and you die, you go to the presence of the Lord. If you're a believer and you go through pain and suffering for years and then you die out of fellowship with God, well, you're experiencing years worth of pain and suffering. Then you're still dying prematurely, and you're still dying out of fellowship with God unless somehow God is bringing you back through this judgment in this life, which is possible, although in Hebrews 6, it says it's impossible to renew him to repentance, which I think probably means humanly impossible. God might, through extreme measures, bring him back. But the point here is that the believer who tramples underfoot the blood of Christ is one who is going to experience a very severe judgment here and now, and, of course, at the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, the sinning willfully in verse 26, a lot of people say, you know, if you sin unintentionally, that's okay. But if you sin willfully, that's not okay. And that's what the author's talking about? No. He's talking about, in the Old Testament, there was the sin of the high hand. And the sin of the high hand was where someone willfully would rebel against what God said. Like Achan heard the ban. You're not to take anything from the Canaanites. He did. As a result, he died. That was a willful sin, and there was no atonement for that. And what they're saying here is, if we reject Christ as a believer, and I get to the point where I commit apostasy, which is essentially what a Jewish believer would be doing if they went back to animal sacrifices, not as a memorial, but now as a means to retaining their everlasting life, well, then that person would be out of fellowship with God. And that person would be in a very bad place. By the way, in the verses that follow, he does go on to say he expects better things of them. In fact, at the very end of the chapter, verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The saving of the soul is not everlasting life. This is salvation of the psuche, which is the inner person, and it's talking about the fact that he is confident that they will, like him, persevere so that at the judgment seat of Christ, they'll hear, well done, good servant. But notice he says in verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. The promise of eternal reward is contingent on endurance.
You know, there's a word that's standing out to me in verse 29, which hints to me that this is not about their eternal destiny. It says, will he be thought worthy who is trampled underfoot the Son of God? And so it makes me think that, you know, to me that's a hint that this is not speaking, because we, you know, we are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. It's not because we were worthy of salvation. Worthiness, generally in my mind, has to do with a life of discipleship and the reward that connects to that.
Is or, it, in this case, worthy of punishment.
Worthy of punishment would be the
because
inverse,
how much worse punishment is he worthy of?
Yeah.
In Scripture, we reap what we sow. That's true at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be true at the great white throne judgment for the unbeliever. They'll receive degrees of torment. Believers will receive degrees of reward. But it's also true here and now, right?
Yeah.
So how we live matters.
Yeah.
And it not only affects you and me, but it affects your children. It affects your parents. It affects your neighbors. If we're walking with Christ, we're a blessing to those around us. But if you're not walking with Christ, well, then you're a hindrance to your children or your spouse or your neighbors or those who share the road with you or those who work with you. Godliness is a blessing. Ungodliness is not a blessing.
Wow.
And it's really ungodly if we depart from the faith life.
Yeah.
Even if you're religious, which they would have been religious
they
by
religious,
going back
yeah.
to animal sacrifices. Yeah. But that's really being ungodly.
Yeah, so it feels like the bottom line here for Hebrews 10, 26 through 31 is there are consequences for not being godly, but the consequences do not include the loss of everlasting life. Is
yeah.
that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. And let me come back to Barry's part of his question about does it make a difference in the long run if I think this is about eternal salvation, not eternal reward? If you think of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God,
yeah,
not
gift, yeah.
of works,
yeah.
lest anyone should boast. Also, I think of John 5, 39 and 40. That's where Jesus is speaking to legalistic Jews, and he says, you search the scriptures, that is the Old Testament, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. We can't be saved by faith plus works.
Yeah.
Only way to have life is to believe in him. And if I think I'm saved by believing in him and by persevering, well, then I'm not believing in him.
It's a beautiful promise that
it is.
We are given. And as we move out, we're going to keep grace in focus.
Amen.
Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk to special guest Steve Elkin about his experiences with Zane Hodges. So join us for that. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.